godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Welcoming in RJ to the show. We will tell you more. We'll get to know him in the next segment here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll talk more Cougs as well. And we got some Astros baseball to talk, too. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about this morning here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Astros are starting to get those wins. They're starting to pile up for the Astros, John.
It's what they do. But first, we got, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? So, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. When somebody gets off, you get on, and you tell us what you learned. It can be about anything. Doesn't have to be about sports. It can be about Will Smith. It can be about Jada Pinkett Smith.
I wouldn't say anything about her if I were you.
Well, no, I'm not. I don't want Will
Shug Smith will come smack the taste out of your mouth.
Yeah, right. So whatever it is, we'll save ours. We got a full board now. Let's get it going on. I can't see the name on there. He's got to let that go. Let's start with up on top with Moscone then. Let's start with Moscone here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What'd you learn this weekend, Moscone?
Hey, I learned that Will Smith cannot take a joke and hates G.I. Joe.
And what?
I didn't hear the last part.
He can't take a
joke. G.I. Joe.
And hates G.I. Joe's.
Oh, and hates G.I. Joe.
And hates G.I. Joe.
Brian Caswell just chimed in and said, you know what I learned? Will Smith hits like a bee. He said, Will Smith hates like a bee. Brian Caswell said
ugly.
That. I think he caught the slap with the fingers is what we did. We did not get the palm like the Russian slap fest contest.
Because
The Russian slapping with the palm can knock people out. They hit them on the jaw.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This was it was a pretty quick twitchy. Like what I learned was Will Smith has got a twitchy upper body, and he has the ability to he has loose hips, flexibility, and the ability to torque his upper body.
That's what you learned this weekend.
Into his delivery.
I learned that Chris Rock can take a hit. He didn't even flinch.
He
bro.
Ate that slap. I didn't even see anything on the side of his face.
Nothing on the side of his face. No.
I mean, hence Brian Caswell's text.
Who's next? I can't see the
Brandon,
bottom
let's
one
get
because
Brandon.
He won't. Yeah, let's do Brandon next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, guys. I learned that people actually think that violence is not the appropriate response when your wife is disrespected.
Violence is not?
Yeah. Violence is not the appropriate response when the wife is disrespected, although... I don't know. I don't know. I think people are torn on this one. I think people are torn on whether or not you defend your...
Well, I think he crossed the line. I just think you wait until after the thing because it's not like you can't find Chris Rock.
Well, I know, but Dan, it's premeditated as opposed to just a reaction. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it, but I think that you probably don't want to do that in front of everyone at the Oscars.
Well, you probably don't want to do it behind the scenes either. I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Carlos is next up here. Carlos, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that the art show Seismic on the southwest side is not worth the price of admission, especially if you have 5 kids.
The art Seismic? What is it? The art show Seismic, he said?
Yeah.
It's not worth the price of admission. I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Not when you have
I don't even
kids.
Know what that is. So, yeah, when you have 5 kids.
Not when you have 5 kids.
Do you taking your kids to it?
No,
I don't even know what it is.
I did take three of them to the other one. I took three of them to the what was it called? The Infinite. That was expensive. But it was worth it.
Yeah, it's well worth it.
It was worth it.
Well worth it. Who's next up here? John. Let's get John in here. What'd you learn this weekend, John?
I learned if you know the hit is coming, it makes it look like a lot easier to take.
Well, there is that thought that it was staged. I don't think so, though. I don't think so, though. I think when he got up that close to him, he knew
it.
Why
would you do it? Will kind of looks bad in a lot of circles here now. Hitting somebody small or weak or doing that, like losing your cool over joke. This doesn't bolster his standing.
No.
Will Smith. I don't know why he would do it.
No, he's got this on his resume now forever. 713-780-37. He's got a lot of pent-up anger about that woman. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Ryan, you're next up. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that if you had been drinking for 12 hours at a bar and you take a girl home, you should have a blue chew in your pocket.
You should have a what?
A blue chew.
That's what I respect about what did you learn. He's just being real.
Yeah.
Like, this is real world stuff he just told
you. Yeah, that's right.
12 hours of drinking.
You're going to need one of them.
He's just telling you.
You're going to need a blue pill.
He's just telling you this is what happened to me this weekend, and I respect it.
Yeah.
I respect it. That's what this segment is for.
713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? I learned that Cody Bellinger sucks at this thing called baseball. You see him? He's 0-16 with 11 strikeouts.
I love it. He's back to 17 form.
He is terrible.
He's back to 17 form. He had it in. Remember Bellinger versus the Astros?
Yeah. Awful.
He was awful. He's back. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, that is just so, so bad. What did you learn this weekend?
I learned that there are a tremendous amount of people in Hollywood to get hair transplants. A tremendous.
I don't find anything wrong with that.
Jim Jeffries. Show, basically the whole series. What they do is they grow it out of it because he said Trump doesn't. He said he doesn't have a comb over; he has a comb back. And he just talked about different transplants. And he said, you know, they shave it here, and they take it and they put it up here. And he goes, you know, he said I've done it, and he goes, you think I like doing it? You think I like having this powder in my hair? And he smacks it, and this powder, the plume goes up, and people are cracking up. And, he just talked about it being just a normal thing. Because you look at all these people in Hollywood yesterday, like, damn, nobody.
Yeah.
Like, no one's got a thinning hairline. Everyone's hair has stayed tight all the way through, right?
Right.
Is that right? No.
No.
No. They go to their Linvilles happen early.
As well, you know,
like
what?
Tom Brady, he Linvilled it early on in his early 30s.
Tom Brady never Linvilled it.
No, it's already.
He's the best.
What do you mean he never did?
He never did it.
It's out there.
No, Joe Buck. You're thinking of Joe Buck.
No, go ahead and Google Tom Brady. You'll find it.
La raza, ¿qué pasó, mi hijo?
Hey, what's up, JJ, Johnny G, Lance?
What's up?
Hey, I learned that your name, like, I know y'all should ban the Nova One Stunner song forever. Y'all messed up the Cougs. Nova Steve, I hate you, bro.
Yeah.
It's a Nova One Stunner.
How about that? The Nova One. Did that get
us? They didn't shoot good.
They didn't.
No, they played terrible.
28%.
They didn't play terrible. Pretty much every team could have beaten them on that day.
Oh, my God.
Because any other team would not have held them like that.
Holy crap.
But
they
any
shot.
Any other offensive performance, that's where you wish you had Sasser.
Oh, yeah.
Just one Sasser and you win easily.
28.8% Villanova shot, and the Cougs lost.
And they won.
Eric, what'd you learn this weekend?
I learned Jada was not impressed. Tupac would have shot him.
Yeah. We saw that. I saw that one. Jada was not impressed. Tupac would have shot him.
Yeah. So I guess Jada used to be with Tupac.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Tupac. Well, Tupac typically got shot.
Yeah.
I don't know how often he was the shooter. He got shot.
But you don't know how many people Pac shot. Tupac shot.
I don't know. But I do know that it was Pac first and Biggie second.
That,
right? It was Pac first and then Biggie second. Yeah. But Pac got shot before then in
Pac, you don't
Pac
know
got shot
how many...
twice. Once he lived, once he survived. But
You shot watching Pac?
Huh?
He could have shot people. You don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. I just know that Pac. Well, number one, Chris Rock doesn't make that joke if Tupac's sitting down
there. No, he ain't making that.
A joke doesn't even come out.
No, it doesn't.
Joke doesn't make it. Maybe, you know what? We're going to cut this joke. That's what the joke writer's like, I'm not doing a Pac joke. Scratch, scratch, scratch. That joke is not coming out.
Brent, what'd you learn this weekend?
Well, to kind of play off what you're already talking about, I learned that Chris Rock's pimp hand is strong.
Yeah, see, yeah. Now he, I don't think he was trying to do maximum damage. I just think he was trying to embarrass this whole thing. The fact that we're talking, like anyone who thinks it's staged, Will Smith has had, he has had a very good career. His first movie ever was 7 Degrees of Separation. He was brilliant. This coming off the Fresh Prince stuff, mm-hmm. a young guy, and he is a male prostitute, basically, but he's kind of a con man too. He was brilliant in that. And then, you know, he's moved to obviously the Men in Black stuff, but Ali, he's been a very serious actor.
Oh, yeah.
He is a box office phenomenon. He makes a ton of money. This was not something, if you stage this, how do you think he benefited? Like, if he's going to stage it, why? Because he wanted to try to quell all the stuff about he and his wife having an open relationship or him being a cuckold or whatever. No, all this did is just, all it did was create new hashtags and trending topics on Twitter.
Oh, no, you don't want to be viral like he is today. Hell no.
Because
everything comes out again.
No.
Chris, what'd you learn this weekend?
My wife is going to be crazy if the rest of her pregnancy is like this first trimester.
Oh, dude, get ready.
Yeah, she's going to be ready. Nuts. Bruh, if the first trimester is bad, wait, brother.
Oh, man, I feel
for him. First trimester is really bad because of the sickness, though.
Yeah. No, and that's not going to last.
Yeah, no.
That's going to last, but you got other stuff that can pop up.
One more underrated mess. What'd you learn this weekend?
Well, I learned if you allow your wife to have entanglements, it doesn't matter who or what is around anyone's mouth.
Hmm. That's so true.
There were entanglements.
There were entanglements.
There were entanglements.
There's no question about that.
That wasn't my word. There were entanglements. Mm-hmm. And now, Will Smith's not for that. Well, he didn't make a joke about that, Chris Rock.
No.
He made a hair joke.
Yeah. Well,
you'd have been better off making that joke.
Because
Regina Hall did.
Yeah, she did.
You'd have been better off making that joke.
Yeah.
Because he can't go up and slap, unless Jada's going to go up and slap Regina Hall.
Right.
He can't go up and slap Chris Rock.
So I understand that you can compare too, Will. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Whoa. All right, we're done with nice job again, everybody. You guys are doing good. You're doing a great job on what you learned this weekend in one sentence. When we come back, meet RJ, and we'll try to get some Cougs in as well right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, some insurance, Lance.
Well, let's talk about TGS Insurance's ability to start saving you on average $900, and that's the average. Of course, there's lower, but there's also higher. I had someone reach out to me on text that said their mom, I can't remember if it was mother-in-law or mom, saved $2,100 on homeowners insurance for the year. Now, you know, you may have a giant expensive home. Maybe you're getting an RV also in your policy, maybe a couple different houses on your policy if you've got rental properties. I don't know. I'm just telling you. When you text the word money to 232323, what happens is it sets the algorithm in motion once you give them your address, and they will tell you exactly what your homeowner's insurance will cost within 15 seconds. So you don't have to wait all day long. Within 15 seconds, you're going to get a firm quote for your homeowner's insurance. Now is the time for you to take advantage of that by texting the word money to 232323. Compare that quote that you have versus what you're paying now, and if it's much lower, you can switch today, and the other company that you had been insured with will send you your prorated amount back if you have prepaid your homeowner's insurance. Text the word money to 232323.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is what a busy weekend we had. One of the things for us, we got our new producer in here, RJ Saunders, is joining the team. He was on the board with Sean and I forget who else, Noah or whomever else last week, maybe Tyler. And now he's got it himself. Sean's still in there helping out. But we're welcoming RJ into the show as our official producer now. RJ, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Doing well, guys. Thank you for having me.
You came from Florida.
Right.
You were on
Into the Night with Rick Ballew.
Rick Ballew.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the station down there?
1010XL, 92.5 FM.
In Miami.
Jacksonville.
In Jacksonville, excuse me. That's right, in Jacksonville. And we got you to come over here. We're happy about that. But you're originally from California, right?
Yep, Los Angeles, California.
And how'd you get to Florida?
College, honestly. I wasn't focused, as focused as I should have been in college.
None of us were.
Joined the team.
Yeah, what?
So, yeah, moved down. My dad had gotten a job opportunity in Florida, told me to come with him and finish college out. And then if I wanted to go back to L.A., well within your right to. Graduated, but took an internship with 1010. They had asked me if I wanted to have a job with them, and I said, well, I guess I'm staying in Jacksonville.
Well, let me ask you a question. We got Jake Trotter coming up from ESPN Cleveland here at the bottom of the hour. So I want to get this in. Would you be willing to take some questions, like get to know RJ, where people get to ask you a series of questions? I don't want to say like it's not like a Supreme Court justice, like a...
Well, no, hopefully
not.
Do you know that aggressive. Wait a minute. Okay, so let's do it like that. Do you know the difference between a man and a woman?
No, we don't have to do that,
well,
John.
Wait,
it has to be sports-related.
Oh.
Or personality. Okay, here's a question for you. Do you like LeBron James?
Over Kobe? No.
Yes.
Well... No, but do you like LeBron
James?
Your
team is the Lakers.
Right.
But you are a Kobe Laker fan.
Yes.
Not a LeBron Laker fan.
No. Okay, this is how I explain it. LeBron is like that your ex or like that one person that you used to talk to and it didn't work out and you haven't talked for a couple months. You happen to see him at a party and I'm talking to John and Lance and I'm like, oh my gosh, don't look. And you make eye contact with that person and you're like, damn it. Now you got to say something to that person. Hey, LeBron, how are you? Been hating you for years, but now we're kind of on the same. Truth.
Yeah.
But it's never going to be. He'll never be. He'll never be.
So you disagree with Jeannie Buss, who says LeBron's one of the five greatest Lakers of all time. Okay, so name the five greatest Lakers of all time.
Kobe, Magic, Shaq, Jerry West. Did I name Kareem?
Kareem.
No.
Yeah. I didn't know if I named Kareem. No, you sorry, didn't. Lance.
Yeah. That's why I'm on the spot.
Kareem. Jerry West. Jerry West was pissed he wasn't in there.
I mean, he's the logo.
He is the logo.
So that's the five that would probably be everyone's five. I mean, you'd have to go deep and say, oh, James Worthy.
No, yeah, right.
But it wouldn't be Worthy. No. Like, that's got to be the five. And it did seem like, well, this is a whole different topic. Let me get some more information. If you guys want to ask questions, you can send it to us on Twitter, 713-780-3776. Now, you lived in California.
Right.
Grew up in L.A.
You grew up in L.A. Then you moved to Florida.
Right.
Now, see, I knew this would come up. Chase says, is RJ Dell's long-lost brother? He is not.
You're not brothers with Dell, are you?
It was the California to Florida thing. Our old producer was California to Florida. It's a whole different deal. He's also a LeBron stan, so that doesn't count. I'm just texting to see if he's listening, because then I'll get an immediate text. Because no one wants to be known as a LeBron stan if they're not. Because LeBron stans are really irritating people.
Right.
Okay. Are you a boxing or MMA fan? Either one.
I'm more boxing than MMA, but I'll watch boxing if okay. It's on.
Okay. So from a football standpoint, do you have a team in college football? Do you have a team that you follow?
In college football, yes.
Who?
USC.
USC.
USC. You're all about L.A.
Right.
Yeah.
You're L.A. through and through.
Yeah.
Someday you want to make your way back to L.A. to work.
I mean, if it's in the cards, yeah. I'm pushing for it.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Originally, I wanted to go back to Chicago, and there's no chance I'll ever do that. I don't want to because you're going to end up liking it here. What do you know about Houston?
Nothing.
Nothing. You know the Rockets.
Right.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
What do you know about the Texans?
That they were whipping the Jaguars' ass every year.
Well, that's true.
So, I mean, you know.
After at one point it wasn't great.
Okay,
for
listen, we
Texas.
Were in week one. We're like, oh, Jaguars are going 1-0. Next thing you know, we're like.
So that's what you
we
thought?
All look, we all well, look everybody. Spooked.
No, you and I we had all the other side. When they we had lost. Texans this
oh,
year.
Oh, yeah, but everybody. When you look at the schedule and you see the Texans around it, you're like, oh, there's a win.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But who's picking first this year?
The Jaguars. Yeah, thank
maybe,
you.
Maybe they were the circle.
No, they suck.
Maybe they were the circle.
How much did you miss Urban Meyer?
Oh, not at all.
Oh, really? You don't miss him.
No, but was it fun having Urban Meyer discussions, or like, did you guys take heat if you talked about your show was local or national? It was a local show, right?
Local show.
Okay. Were you allowed to talk bad about the Jaguars?
Yeah, you could be honest. Now, if you were, I would say, a little bit too honest, you may get a phone call, but you could be honest about them. They didn't want, you know.
Did James Click ever call your show?
No.
He called our show. That's not right. Okay. Are you a Dodger fan?
Yeah, so I just saw in the chat. You can bleep me out, but I mean, hey, listen, I'm a Dodger guy.
That's all. We're done.
Y'all beat us fair and square. I don't say anything. I'm not one of those guys that talk about you beat the trash cans. I'm not that guy. You should have won. You should have won. You didn't win.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, have you ever been to Home Depot with your dad?
No.
Don't answer that. That's a Dell thing.
That's a Dell thing.
We're getting a lot of these.
All right, we're taking a break. Jake Trotter from ESPN Cleveland joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, soccer fans, Glenn Davis here. Thank you for supporting Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. Don't forget, join me for the best in soccer talk and football talk weekly on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
For those of you that haven't heard, Deshaun Watson is a Cleveland Brown. He had a press conference on Friday, met the media, and I thought Cleveland media did a hell of a job. There's a lot of, and probably here would have been a lot of softballs and a lot of, I mean, Cleveland got down and dirty with Deshaun and weren't afraid to ask all the tough questions. Jake Trotter, works for ESPN. He covers the Browns for ESPN. He has John McClain status there. He asked the first question.
Oh, he's in got the McClain press status?
He's got McClain status. Well, I would have thought Mary Kay Cabot would have that, but she was later.
Oh, well, maybe she's getting too... Maybe she's getting too surly with too much information.
A little too lippy.
And now after Jake's questions, maybe it got a little too tough. Maybe Jake can't have that status anymore.
Well, I don't know. He asked the tough questions, and he's joining us right now.
I give him credit.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jake, welcome to the show. We appreciate you being here.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Good, man. So I'm pretty sure you asked the first question of the 22... why the Browns didn't interview them. I thought, excellent question. I thought you guys did a great job in grilling and asking all the right questions of Deshaun Watson. What was the fallout after the press conference? What is the reaction right now in Cleveland about Deshaun?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think that this has become a very divisive issue for Browns fans. There is definitely a segment of Browns fans that are upset that we ask any questions of Deshaun Watson or Andrew Berry, that, you know, don't want to talk about any of this, just want to see him play football, which, I mean, listen, the guy is supremely talented. Last time he played, you know, I felt like he was a top five quarterback in the NFL. On the other hand, I think there's a sizable portion of the Browns fan base that is uncomfortable with the situation, that is even upset. And I think wanted all those questions to be asked. So, yeah, I mean, I think that until these civil lawsuits are resolved, whether they're settled or they go to trial, I mean, these questions are not going anywhere. This is going to continue to envelop the Browns organization. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this moving forward, because this is going to continue to be a big story, and what you saw in the press conference, I think there's going to be more of that to come.
I think it was a really interesting press conference. The level of comfort was about what you would expect it to be. I didn't feel like Deshaun's team had prepared him for the questions very well. I would have thought it'd almost be like a debate, where if you're going to have that format, you better really be ready with your answers. I was a little surprised that Andrew Berry came off as I don't know. I don't know the word for it. He was not as smooth and slick as I thought he would be, and it looked like he really struggled with answering some of those questions. Did you feel the same way when you were done with it?
Well, you know, Andrew Berry, you know, he's only 34 years old. you know, this is his first GM job, and he's only been there a couple of seasons now. And, you know, he, in the past, whenever we've talked to him, he always tries to be very vague and just kind of stick to the talking points, and he never really says much, ever, in my experience with his interviews, his press conferences or podiums. And that wasn't going to fly this time. And I think he tried to employ that strategy. You know, we're just going to defer to the statement that we gave. I'm going to defer to my opening statement where, you know, he's not really telling you anything. He's saying, you know, we got a comprehensive review. Okay, how did you get that comprehensive review? And he didn't want to talk about that part of that for whatever reason. So I think that's why he maybe came off the way that he did, in that either he couldn't or didn't know how to answer some of the questions, because in the past he'd been able to get away with, you know, well, I don't talk about contracts, or, you know, I don't talk about negotiations, or, you know, just keeping it very generic whenever you ask him about anything. And, you know, I think to the credit of the Cleveland media contingent, like, that was just not going to be acceptable this time around. And I think he started to figure out, you know, midway through the press conference, that, like, you know, I just can't say, or there's going to be pushback if I just say what I always try to say, which is not much.
How was the reaction of how Deshaun came off?
You know, I was interested in that, how much Deshaun spoke, right? I mean, he did answer a lot of the questions, and he said some interesting things. I never have disrespected a woman. I've never sexually assaulted a woman. I've never harassed a woman in my life. I have no intention at the moment of settling these civil lawsuits. I have no regrets about anything that I did as it relates to these cases. And it's not weird or suspicious that I've had so many different massage therapists over the last couple of years. I mean, he didn't really, he pushed back on everything. So I thought that that was definitely interesting. And, you know, he kind of set the bar from where we're going to go going forward. Is he continues to have to answer questions about this, and, you know, who knows what else is going to come out, what other allegations are going to be made, you know, when if these civil lawsuits go to trial, you know, people are going to remember what he said at this press conference. So I thought it was interesting how much he said and what he said and how many questions he took.
One me. That's the old Eddie Murphy. One me.
Well, he
also
almost
Shaggy.
Had to. He
Shaggy
almost,
did that too.
Yeah. He almost had to say that, though, right? Because
that's
of
what I
the
felt like.
Civil
if
suits.
You're in, you have to be all in. Yeah, right. I suppose. I'm curious about the not settling part. You know, I think that stays in line with, obviously, publicly, it stays in line with the "I did not do this." This is not me. I'm not going to settle. I'm going to fight this case. All right. Now that we got that out of the way, now let's talk. When does this get settled? Because there's no way, based on what we know from talking to legal experts, Jake, and maybe you have too about this, we've talked to legal experts who have said if he tries to fight all 22, this is going to last much longer than just a single year, and that, you know, the NFL at some point could, you know, could potentially suspend him, maybe suspend him for a long time, or maybe since there's no criminal cases pending, maybe the thought is, you don't have to settle it. You can fight these, and you're still going to be able to play, so it won't matter.
Yeah, I don't know how the NFL looks at this in terms of timing. Like, if they decide they want to suspend Watson, do they wait till these civil lawsuits are resolved, or do they preemptively go ahead and suspend him? I don't know the answer to that question. So that's number one. Number two, you guys are right. You know, I'm told that, you know, if they get through these depositions, still no settlement, you know, at some point they're going to ask for trial dates, which I'm told could happen as soon as, you know, early next year, like February or March. And that's the first trial. So if there are 22 of them, I mean, we're talking about a long-term, issue here. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I, on the one hand, you know, if you're Deshaun Watson and you feel you're innocent, you don't want to cop to anything and you want to fight him, okay, but on the other hand, this is not going to resolve itself overnight for sure. And then, you know, if he is guilty of some of or all of these allegations, I mean, I can't even imagine, you mentioned the word fallout, the fallout that would, you know, come to be in Cleveland. I mean, I'm not sure how anybody would be able to keep their jobs at that point if there's another grand jury that convenes, you know, for example. I mean, remember, guys, several of these women, they've been fired. They don't allege these incidents happened in Harris County or Brazoria County. I mean, some of them allegedly happened out of state. So, I mean, this is not even remotely resolved from this point. And, you know, it's not inconceivable that, you know, another grand jury could take a look at this. We'll see.
Jake Trotter, ESPN Cleveland, with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Why weren't Jimmy Haslam and Dee Haslam there?
I don't know.
Were you surprised?
They said they had a prior engagement overseas. I mean, I don't know if I'm surprised or not. It was very obvious. It was very noticeable. And B, I mean, they just, you know, you mentioned Andrew Berry having to take all those questions. Well, you know, a lot of questions I had, I would ask Jimmy Haslam or Dee Haslam if they were there. They weren't there. And they did a Zoom call later in the day, but at that point, you know, it really didn't have the same impact that the press conference did. So I don't know. I mean, they felt it was important enough to fly to Houston to meet with Watson, but apparently they didn't feel like it was important enough to stand on the podium stage with him. So, I mean, I don't know what to make of that. It sent a really weird message to me, that's for sure.
Are you buying Jimmy Haslam's explanation of the contract, which is going to circumvent the suspension, in that he's only going to be paying about $55,000 a game while he's suspended? Do you buy Andrew Berry saying that, well, you know, we've done this before so that we can, you know, have cap space this year? There is some truth to that, but are you buying it in this instance?
They're going to get hit a little bit when they trade Baker, too.
That's true.
Not a ton, but they are going to get hit when they trade Baker, right, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, there is some truth to it, but there's no denying the way that it looks. I mean, it is structured in a way in which, I mean, I'm the one asking Andrew Berry this question because I wanted to hear what he said, but, you know, they structured it in a way where there's basically no financial penalty for Deshaun Watson. And I think there are other ways they probably could have structured the contract where that might not have been the case and you still would have been able to retain, you know, cap flexibility. I'm not a capologist, but you didn't have to do it this particular way necessarily. And to be fair to them, like, they did the Myles Garrett contract, I think, in a similar fashion. But again, it just sends a message that, you know, we don't care about how this looks. Because at the very least, it looks suspicious, whether you intended it for it to be that way or not.
Yeah. Jake Trotter with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jake, is everybody just going to forget? As soon as Deshaun Watson starts playing good football, it's just going to just all blow over?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that depends a little bit on the civil lawsuits. Like, if they're not settled and, you know, he's still doing depositions and we're still getting news out of whatever is to come, I don't think it goes away. Do you guys? I mean, it's going to go away a little bit once they start playing football games, but at the same time, if there's new revelations or, you know, there's movement in these civil cases, I don't think it just goes away.
Here's my thought, Jake. I don't know. John and I have been doing radio for a long time. We've been sports fans for a long time. I can't remember. This would be the first instance to me that I can recall where a good football player had something that hounded him for a long time. Because Kobe Bryant is an example. Ben Roethlisberger with the Steelers. Kobe Bryant, who is an even bigger name than Ben Roethlisberger. It just didn't follow. It did temporarily, but it didn't follow. Mm-hmm. Look how Kobe was beloved even before he passed away. Kobe was beloved again. And that was a rape accusation that actually went to trial. I just think that if guys can play, that it will eventually drift away because that is our news cycle. Now, will it drift away completely? No, there'll still be comments and things like that. But I don't think it's going to be what we think it's going to be. I think eventually the 24-hour news sports stations or sports programming at ESPN, NFL Network, whoever, eventually the narrative is going to leave the discussions and the questions about Deshaun Watson. Well, what can we come up with? What can our segment be here? And it's going to turn to football. It really is, especially if he can play.
I think you may be right. I would say there are two things that are different from the some of the incidents you mentioned with other athletes. Number one, it's the number, right? This isn't right. just one woman. This is 22 plus. And then I think number two, the climate in which we live is different today than it was when Kobe Bryant's situation happened or Ben Roethlisberger or any number of athletes, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. I mean, it's just different. And we talk about this type of stuff differently than we used to. And I think we think about it differently than we used to. So those are ways in which this might be a little bit different, but I definitely understand what you're saying. And I think the Browns are banking on that. I don't think they make this trade if they feel like this is going to consume the news cycle indefinitely. I think they're banking on, for their fans, that they're going to be over it by the time Deshaun Watson plays a game. Because, again, you know, he's an outstanding player. And so, you know, once he throws five touchdowns in that first game, I think their calculation is that nobody's going to care about this stuff anymore. And we'll see.
He better play well. Because if they're getting this because it was uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable for Andrew Berry. Deshaun, it looked like, you know, oh, well, this is just another day at the office.
yeah, but, I thought he looked uncomfortable.
I don't know. I didn't see him. I
didn't
see him
sweat.
He was nervous, I think. But, yeah.
I don't know if he was uncomfortable.
I don't know about uncomfortable. Stefanski was a
me their, really
their words
spoken.
Were so guarded. Andrew Berry's, when he was asked about the assault and people turning away from the Browns, he had to reflect. I saw him afterwards. He was drinking water after that.
That's a smart guy. He understood that one misstep could bury him.
Yes. That was a tough question about how do victims of sexual assault look at the Browns now. That's a tough question.
You may have asked it, Jake. I don't know. But there were tough questions to be asked, and we're glad that you were one of the ones who asked some of them because, let's just be real. This all started during COVID. And there hasn't been much discussion. Like, I famously had a, not famously, but here on the show, I finally got to ask questions of Bill O'Brien and you know, about some of the moves that the Texans made during the summer because we never had a chance to talk at all. With Deshaun Watson, when is, John, can you remember a time at all where Deshaun has spoken to the media since all this stuff started?
No.
That was in the early part of 2000.
Yeah.
It's been over two years.
I think he spoke after the first grand jury in Harris County.
He just thanked God, and that's it, pretty much.
And you guys are right. I mean, like, the other thing it was weird at this press. I had not been in the Browns training facility in over 2 years.
Yeah.
That was the first time I'd been back in there. So, yeah, you just haven't had an opportunity to ask questions of anybody about anything, really, since the beginning of COVID.
All right. That's Jake Trotter, ESPN Cleveland. Man, we appreciate your time. I heard you this weekend on with Courtney and Amber, I think. And good stuff, man. We appreciate you guys really grilling Deshaun. We thought it might be a lot of softballs, but there certainly wasn't. And that's a good thing. Jake,
appreciate you guys. Take care.
Appreciate it. There's Jake Trotter right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm talking about Pro Dunk Hoops right now. Getting the best goal in the history of goals.
Would you say do you think Will Smith dunked on Chris Rock yesterday? Did Chris Rock dunk on
Will?
Well, not Will, but
he had to lower his arm because you lower the basket to dunk, right?
To slap.
Because, slapping's different. But he did dunk on him. There's no question about that. And here's what happens with pro. I don't think Keith Tate wants to be associated with that, if you want to know the truth.
Sure. Well, you know, you hear kids now that, he dunked on him with a comment. Do you know that we've got a raggedy, I've got to get a hoops out there. We got this raggedy goal out there.
See how terrible it is?
This is what I'm talking about. And my son tried to get, me and my son knew what we were doing. We tried to get my wife to come, like, raise her hand, like, see if you can touch the rim from here, because I was going to throw a lob and he was going to dunk on his own mom. But it didn't work because the rim shakes really badly. Like, it's just not put together well.
It's awful.
It's cheap.
Yeah, well, and your kids, are your kids out there all the time? No. Instead, they're inside learning stuff, reading books and stuff, when they could be outside playing. Well,
no, they're not.
They're
outside, doing not stuff that makes them smart. and they're not shooting on a goal. They're shooting on a rickety goal that everything goes in.
Well, that's on you.
It's all busted up, and they think they're great shooters. Hey, kids, real basketball goals, like on hoops, they don't just let you have automatic makes all the time.
Well, and here's the – no, you're right. That's the best goal that you could possibly –
it's a real rim.
The rim, unbreakable, the stanchion, unrustable, the tempered glass backboard. It's the best hoop, period, exclamation point. So you're looking for the best? ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back. 852 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Shorter segment here. We took a lot of time with Jake Trotter. Let's get some calls in here. And then after that, on the other side, we'll talk some Cougs basketball again as they end their season on Saturday with the poorest shooting performance that you could possibly have.
Something happened last night. Okay, Stephen A. Smith, he now has to have the first and final word on everything that happens in the world. He goes on,
especially
video
in the black community.
He now is the voice. I don't think everyone's comfortable with that.
No,
I don't think everyone's comfortable with.
I've said that to Del before. He's like, I don't need a voice from anyone.
He goes,
I don't need Jesse Jackson.
Nobody's my voice.
I don't need Al Sharpton.
He said, Del will be Del's voice.
Yeah, right.
And that's the way it should be. No one should be
who's
the voice of
like
anyone.
That. He said, he asked me. So who's the white voice out there when something happens with white people? Who's the white voice?
Guess it's you.
No, I'm dark meat. Remember?
No, it's you.
No, I'm in between.
The white
no one
voice?
Can no white people can trust me.
Can't be Ricky Gervais or Jim Jeffries.
Mm-mm.
Jim Jeffries cannot be the voice.
No, he's Australian.
That's white.
No, it's not. No,
you're saying American. He's not American.
Not American.
So he's
white.
Not white. Oh, yeah. He's not an American.
Right.
White.
We can't trust him.
No, I don't know if you can. A little dust up, by the way, was happening in the middle of his concert down below. He goes, hold on, stop it here. What's going on here? And I guess some woman kept talking because she had lost her. And this guy goes, just nothing. Just keep effing going. Okay? Just keep effing going with your show. This guy says this from like the third run. I'm like, oh boy.
Uh-oh.
I'm getting nervous. And apparently, I don't know, but he kind of stopped the show and got everything settled in. But so Stephen A. Smith was commenting on Will Smith, and it was embarrassing, and he loves the brother, but it was a bad look, and blah, 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 and he tagged Will Smith, at Will Smith, and he's tagging him, and he's going in, and turns out this Will Smith is co-host of the Brad and Will Made a Tech Pod.
Yeah. Well, you can tell by his avatar it's
he
not
says,
him.
Says, not that Will Smith. Yeah, the avatar, and he got so many comments. And he goes, oh, bleep. As soon as it happened, he goes, real talk, I'm not the person you're upset or happy with. I make podcasts and video games for a living. At the risk of making people pissed off at me instead of that other guy, the world would be a better place if we stopped answering words with violence. And then he goes, welp, he's had 422,000 likes because Stephen A. Smith tagged him. And he just goes, welp. And he said, I'm sorry if you're offended. Hopefully all anyone remembers at the end of the show is this inappropriate, upbeat in memoriam segment. Got to keep tweeting through it. This guy just kept getting, hammered. He goes, oh, bleep. And one guy goes, everyone hates Chris. Real talk, I'm not the person you're upset with. I will whenever somebody made a comment. He goes, Chris Rock. Somebody goes, Chris Rock, I think you two need to hug this out. And not the real Will Smith said, I will when he apologizes to me personally. Yeah, it's not the right Will Smith. Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah,
I'm the Ravens play-by-play guy. I'm not the pedophile.
Worse to be Will Smith today or Jerry Sandusky? The other Will Smith or the other Jerry Sandusky.
Coach Reese said, come on, Trump is the voice of white people. Nobody is the voice of all white people.
No.
Nobody is the voice of all black people.
Trump is
That's
not.
That's a generalization
Trump
that
ain't
you
my
get.
Voice. I can tell you that. Okay? Trump ain't my voice.
Now, I will say this. Mike Mayock is the voice of me. I'll let Mike Mayock be the voice of me.
What about Will Cain?
No, no one else can be the voice of me but Mike Mayock and not even Daniel Jeremiah. He's not the voice of me.
No, yeah,
we disagree on players. No, yeah. I like DJ, but we
disagree. Mel Kiper's your dad, though.
No, he's not my dad.
Yeah.
He's not my dad. He's a great uncle. Great Uncle Mel.
Well, he made you a lot of money. You know what? He's like the
Tiger
Woods.
He made me money?
Yeah. How? He made all of you money.
Oh, I'm standing on the shoulders of Mel Kiper.
That's you damn right. That's right. Like all golfers are standing on Tiger's shoulders.
That's right. One Tiger standing on Jack's shoulders.
Yeah. But he took it to another level.
Well,
if you take
did.
It to another level, it's a new deal. Mel Kiper's a trailblazer.
I would say
he's the godfather.
Mel is. Joel Buschbaum's a godfather, but Mel for
well,
sure.
He's an OG,
is.
But he ain't the Mel godfather.
Mel is the godfather because Mel did create something where Mel did it as a fan. He created, yeah. I mean, you're right.
Yeah.
No, I got a lot of respect for Mel. I like Mel personally. Mel's a good dude.
All right, we got to take a break. Top of the hour, we're going to talk Cougs. Willie wants to get in here and talk a little Deshaun. We could do that as well. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, 713-780-3776. Right now, though, it's Maestro Dobel.
Maestro Dobel is a maestro. That is the Spanish pronunciation.
Oh, no,
maestro.
No. I'm sorry.
No?
That's on me. It's, oh, you want to talk about some food? Let's talk about some great plate.
Ooh, let's talk about, so I had Judy. No, it wasn't Judy. Who was it? I can't remember. We were at Tyler's going away party. And I can't remember. Somebody told me that they every time they hear me do the commercial for Union Kitchen, that very specifically is a commercial that she's like, you do such a good job because I get so hungry every time I – Union Kitchen has – they've got six different locations around the city of Houston. How about churro donut holes? How about lobster omelets? Real lobster meat, lobster omelets. How about different types of foods for kids? They've got the Elvis, which is the waffles with peanut butter, and it's peanut butter, and it's the bananas Foster sauce, and it's like the most delicious, decadent brunch that you can possibly have. There's a ton of different types of Benedicts as well, like a crab cake and an eggs Benedict. Really, from savory to sweet to smaller portions to healthy portions to large decadent portions, they've got it all. And mimosas, forget about it. They got the best mimosas, and it's a kind of a famous mimosa program that they have going on right now. If you haven't been to brunch in the Houston area, you really need to. It's big in this city, and Union Kitchen is doing it upright. Make sure you go to the Union Kitchen, six locations to choose from. Stop in for lunch, for dinner, or especially for brunch, and enjoy the delicious food from Union Kitchen.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.